Again, it's good to be together as we meet together on this day we set aside as a Father's Day. And although we might contemplate one father in particular, a fellow by the name of Joseph, I suppose that you were not going to be able to physically raise your son or your daughter. And suppose that you had the opportunity and the option to choose the individual that was going to raise them in your place or in your stead. And then the one you chose to do such an important thing would certainly say a great deal about that man. And it would reveal a great deal about you as well. And when we think about this man Joseph, who was selected of God to be the foster father, the stepfather, if you will, of our Lord. Of course, God's much greater than we are. You know, he didn't just have to choose someone from what was there. He not only chose Joseph, but he foreordained. And he prepared him from his very birth. In fact, God's decision, God's foreordination was, you know, from eternity. And so I think we ought to seek to learn what we can from the example and the character of that man, Joseph. That man who was chosen of God to raise his son. And he would then become an example to all Christian fathers. We read over in Matthew 1 and verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. And while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus. There is, you know, but little revealed in Scripture concerning the man Joseph, who was the stepfather of our Lord. But the very fact that he was chosen of our sovereign God to raise his son, you know, indicates that we have much to learn from this man by way of an example. His traits, his characters are obviously those things which God looks for in a father. So let's consider the man Joseph. We know that he was a man chosen, and he was a man providentially prepared. Joseph's physical lineage was through Jacob and Judah and David. And God foreordained these things. You know, who we are, where we came from, who our ancestors were, are not accidents. They're not happenstance. Matthew 1, we read, beginning in verse 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. I'll skip on down because the lineage goes on. And verse 16 says, And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generation from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Luke writes in Luke 3, verse 23, and Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as it was supposed, the son of Joseph, which is the son of Hiel, and then skipping down to verse 33, which is the son of Abinadab, which is the son of Aram, which is the son of Isram, which is the son of Pharaz, which is the son of Judah, which is the son of Jacob, which is the son of Isaac, which is the son of Abraham, which is the son of Terah, which is the son of Nahor, in verse 38, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Jacob's lineage was prepared of God. His background was prepared of God. There are no accidents. Each of us have been carefully prepared. Our background has been carefully chosen of God. And in the case of Joseph, his background, his lineage, was carefully planned and executed by our sovereign God. God prepared this man to be the foster father for his own son during his earthly trek. And our lineages and backgrounds are not accidents. God prepares each of us for something. And an interest in that is not to be condemned. You know, we see those today, and it's just more and more. Some would have us to forget our ancestors and forget our lineage and forget our heritage. But we see the careful recording of these things in Scripture. And it's important for us to look back and see who went before us and what God was foreordaining and what God was using in those circumstances. There are no accidents of birth. You know, we speak as men from the human perspective. You know, accidents of birth. There are no accidents of birth. We're where God intended us to be. We're where God put us. We're where God foreordained from before the foundation of the world. And such was with this man Joseph, quite obviously, as we see him listed in his genealogies in the Scriptures. So he was chosen and providentially prepared of God. He was a man that was submissive to God's providence. You know, it's interesting, and this sort of world we live in and the time we live in, is to understand being submissive to God's providence as opposed, you know, to being slavishly submissive and necessarily to the ungodly powers that be. But there's a necessity to exercise wisdom in those things. So, see there, Caesar ordered a taxation. And Joseph submitted to that. Not that Caesar necessarily had the right to do that or the authority to do that. But Joseph understood that he had the power. And that if he did have the power at that time, that God had intended that to be the case. Luke 2, we read in verse 1, it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Caesar hadn't changed any, has he? And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was the governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. What a coincidence. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. See, God was working in the circumstances. He had to go back to the city of his nativity, you know, to submit to this tax of Caesar's. And Joseph understood the ultimate authority of God. Listen, the power behind the throne is God. No one exerts any power over us that God hasn't ordained, you know, that they can. The Lord Jesus himself, the example on the cross, said, you can't do anything to me unless God ordained it. Unless God determined it. And even though we could question the legitimacy of Roman authority, Joseph was wise enough to know that in God's providence, he could not effectively resist it at that time. And in God's providence, he was brought back, that the Lord would be born in Bethlehem in fulfillment of prophecy. All because, you know, Caesar decided he was going to shake down the people for some money. But again, Caesar was used of God in the fulfillment of the prophecy. And sometimes, you know, we have to be wise enough to realize the power of our oppressors. You know, whether they be in Rome or whether they be in Washington. And Joseph acted wisely in this circumstance. We could almost compare it, you know, to the day. You know, what's going to happen if you don't pay your taxes? I mean, we understand what's going to happen. But at the same time, when push comes to shove, and I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, you know, when they want to go in and they want to slay the children, Joseph, in obedience to the commands of God, he takes up and leaves. He doesn't submit to that. But here we see how the Lord works in providence, how the Lord works in circumstance. I don't always understand it. I can't always unravel it. But you see, we see instances where God directly intercedes in the life of Joseph. But here he did not. There wasn't an angel that came down to Joseph and said, Joseph, you go up to Bethlehem. No, providence determined that. What we would call, what man would call circumstance that brought him there. The decree of a pagan ruler. But it was all in accordance with God's decree. There's our comfort as Christians. It's all in accordance with God's decree. There are no accidents. Circumstances are truly divine providence. So here was Joseph, a man chosen, providentially prepared, a man submissive to God's providence. We see also he's a man of moral principle and of personal purity. He was espoused to Mary. But he had quite obviously not sought improper favors from her. I was watching last night, it's kind of astounding. They had this great big royal wedding over in someplace. Scandinavia, Sweden, something. And the princess was marrying her commoner. And then they happened to mention, oh yeah, well they've been living together for 7 years before. I mean, this great big royal wedding, and well, that wasn't the character of Joseph. His character wasn't what we see around us today. He had not sought improper relations with Mary, to whom he was engaged. Back in Matthew 1, verse 18 said this, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now when she was found a child, Joseph knew that he was not the father. In our society, Diane can relate instances where confused girls have no idea who the father is. Absolutely not. But he was a man of principle. He was a man of personal purity. He was as well a man of justice. Verse 19 back in Matthew 1. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Joseph was a man who followed after the law of God. And that is what in the Jewish context was called a just man. He followed after the law of God. Joseph was determined to do the right thing. The determination to do the right thing, that is what character is. Unlike one of our recent presidents that said character is a journey, not a destination. But that fellow didn't even know what the definition of is. So, now character is not a journey. Character is a destination. Beyond that, character is established. Character is firm. Character is unquestionable. And that's when it says Joseph was a just man. Character is what is set forth in the law of God. Joseph no doubt loved Mary, but he was determined to have a wife of purity as well. That's the ideal. That's the sort of family that God chose to have his son brought up in. Many fall short, you know. That doesn't alter the standard. That doesn't alter the ideal. And we need to be careful to not let our failures or the failures of our predecessors, the failures of others, to excuse lower standards of our descendants, of our children. Those are the things we seek to pass on. You know, look at God's grace in the genealogy of our Lord. I mean, Joseph was a man of purity. Mary was a woman of purity. But it hadn't been that way at each step along the way in the past. You know, we can't change the past. Our own past or the past of our predecessors. I can just touch on a couple of them. You know, Judah's daughter-in-law, Tamar, you know, plays the part of a harlot, you know, seduces her father-in-law, you know, to bring forth children. Rahab, who was a Canaanite, and on top of being a Canaanite, a harlot. All the genealogy of the Lord. That's God's grace at work. You see, God's grace overcomes our shortfalls. But that does not excuse, you know, sin in the present. Does not excuse failure to walk in accordance with God's law for our descendants and seeking to pass on those things. David, what a great man of God. Bathsheba. What a terrible, terrible moral failing. All these, you know, in the Lord's genealogy. God's grace at work. But when God determined to have his son brought forth, it was in a family of a just man by the name of Joseph, who sought to walk after God's law. But besides being just, he was also a man of compassion. We can learn that. Again, back in verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Though Joseph was not motivated by personal revenge or anger, I'm sure he was hurt. You know, he knew that this child was not his. He was espoused to Mary. And yet he still sought to do the right thing, but he sought to do the right thing in the most compassionate way. He sought to put her away privily. You know, he wasn't going to make a big issue of it. He wasn't going to have it spread over the pages of the whatever those things are when you stand in line at the grocery store, you know, and you see the globe and the sun and whatever those kind of things. He wasn't going to have it spread around. He didn't want anyone else to know what was going on. He was concerned to do the right thing. But he wasn't concerned with, you know, showing his moral superiority. He determined to put her away privily. He's striving to be right and compassionate. You know, sometimes we look at things, we see folks that do us wrong. It says, I want to give them what they deserve. Yeah, and what if God gives you what you deserve? We don't want that. We don't want that. He was a man of humility. Again, it says, and Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. He didn't want to show everybody, look at me, you know. Look what I'm going to. No, he was humble. He didn't seek revenge. He didn't seek to strike out or to strike out at Mary. He realized, in spite of whatever hurt he may have felt, you know, there but for the grace of God go I. He was as well a man of reason. Not in contradistinction to faith, because he was obviously a man of faith. But he was a man of reason as well. He thought out his actions. Matthew 1, verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded. He thought about these things to put her away privily. And while he thought on those things, he just didn't strike out. You know, without any thought, without any concern, without any prayer. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. See, he was minded, and he thought on these things. You know, we have to seek not to simply react to difficult and painful situations, which we're all apt to do, and some of us more than others. And I'll, you know, admit some guilt there sometimes. You know, we're apt to react, to strike out, to go off, half caught. But could you imagine, you know, had Joseph just made that initial reaction that may have been welling within him, if he'd went around, you know, ranting and raving and announcing his injury to the world? And then here comes the angel of the Lord and says, oh, wait a minute, Joseph. Don't be afraid to take Mary unto you. You know, what's in her is conceived of the Holy Ghost. And he's, oh, you know, after he'd already made a fool of himself. And that unique and glorious situation that we see unfolding there. So he was a man of reason. You know, he thought these things through before he acted. And he was a man who was obedient to God's commands. And that's what our duty is, to obey the commands of God. Again, back in Matthew 1 and verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise, when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Once he was convinced of God's word, once he was convinced of God's will, he obeyed without delay. We read, then Joseph took unto him his wife. He married Mary. And taking unto him his wife is that ceremonial, the official, the binding vows. That's what the taking unto of the wife was. But we notice that he didn't know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son. He was a man that could control his passions. He didn't have relations with Mary until after the birth of Jesus. And by the way, he did have relations after that, in spite of what the Roman church may try to propagate. It's just ludicrous. The scripture makes quite abundantly clear, you know, that the Lord had stepbrothers and stepsisters. Mary and Joseph lived in marital bliss, if you will, or marital... what'd you say?
Harmony.
That's it. Marital harmony. You know, they submitted one to another. They submitted to the will of God. Again, he demonstrates his obedience when I mentioned before the flight into Egypt in Matthew 2 and verse 13. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. I mean, just as soon as the Lord told him to do that, as soon as he was convinced that was the will of God and the word of God, he did it! Later on, when he's told to come back and to return, I'll just skip down to verse 19. When Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel. For they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. At each juncture, he obeys the command of God as soon as he's convinced that it's the clear will of God. Again, a man we could all learn much from as fathers. And he was a man who raised his children in the ways of God. Luke speaks of how he followed the the religion that was set forth unto the Jews in Luke 2 and verse 22. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is in the law of the Lord. A pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. You know, he followed the law of God concerning his children. He brought the Lord into Jerusalem and presented him to the Lord and offered the sacrifices. Remember later on as he raises his children up in the Lord, and you know they come to Jerusalem when the Lord's more of age, and when the Lord teaches the teachers in the temple. Because Joseph obeyed the law of God and sought to bring up his family and his children in the ways of God. Luke says, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. Now, he was a man that would raise his children in the ways of God, that would pass on these truths to them. And this is the sort of man that the very God of heaven chose to raise his own son. For we know God is always everywhere and is ever present. He was always there every step of the way. But he still would have a father to raise him within a physical family. And God chose this man, Joseph. A man who submitted to God's providence. A man who submitted to God's will. A man of justice. A man of grace. A man of compassion. And all these things that I pray by the grace of God that we might strive for. A man who sought to raise his own children in the ways of God. To pass on those things to the next generation. Joseph raised the Lord as his own. In fact, to those who didn't know any better, he was known as his father. Luke 3 and verse 23, and Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, a son of Joseph. Matthew 13, and when he was coming to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? So he was known as the father of Jesus. He raised him as his own. You know, one note in passing, that I would hope maybe you could pass on to coming generations. You know, the Lord himself became a carpenter. He didn't become a politician. He didn't become a priest. He didn't become a poet or a philosopher. He became a carpenter. that I, we could hardly, you know, wish better for our own children and grandchildren, you know, a kind of skill, you know, self-employed. And a lot of us aren't that way, didn't start out that way, didn't get, but I tell you, I can't think of any, you know, probably greater calling, greater work than that kind of work in the human realm. And we see that example there as well. You know, he picks up the craft of Joseph, at least, you know, for a while, until he gets about upon his Heavenly Father's business. Joseph evidently died before the commencement of the Lord's public ministry. He's not mentioned at the wedding feast at Cana, which was the Lord's first miracle. Earlier incidents, you know, would imply that Joseph was no longer on the scene. You remember where folks were kind of offended at some of his thing. Even his own brothers and sisters back in Mark 6, verse 3 says, "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? Are not his sisters with us?" And they were offended at him. Now they speak of him simply as the son of Mary at that time. Joseph had evidently passed on to the scene again before he undertook that greater calling. Lack of references to Joseph would indicate that he had already died. But before he died, after the word of man, he'd passed these things on. Our Lord already knew everything. But he grew up as a man. He grew up within a family. He grew up with a stepfather that passed on to him the things of God, that took him to Jerusalem for the Passover. Certainly he was gone by the time of the crucifixion, but all those things were within God's providence. He had already done his part. He had already fulfilled his obligation and his duty before God. And the Lord, as he's dying on the cross, you know, asks John to look after his mother because his earthly father is no longer there. Here was a man chosen of God, submissive to God's providence, submissive to God's will, a man of justice, a man of compassion, a humble man and yet a reasonable man, a man who thought things through before he acted, an obedient man. A man who was sought to pass on to his children the things of God. And I pray that by the grace of God, we might be such men. Lord knows they're needed today. That we might be such fathers. That we might be such grandparents. And by God's grace, we might pass on those eternal truths. We might be used of God in the lives of our descendants. Let's take our hymnals and we'll stand and sing a closing hymn together. Number 269, "'Twas in the Father's Plan." Number 269. Stand as we sing this closing hymn together. 269.
Oh, hallelujah. Christ God sent me as his son. 'Twas in the Father's plan how his great grace for me, through time long endless day, abided full and free. 'Twas in the Father's plan that in eternity I shall his face behold, and in his likeness be. Father's plan before the world began to give it to his son. It was his will and way. His word shall never fail, so come whatever may. With him I'll reign on high one glad and glorious day. Oh, hallelujah.
Father, we do thank you for this day. Father, we thank thee for your word. Lord, we thank thee for the record that man Joseph, you chose to raise your son. Lord, we thank you for the example that's set before us. Lord, an example of trust, of faith, an example, Lord, of faithfulness to your word, to your commands, or an example of seeking to pass on to the next generation your truths. Lord, I pray you be with us today as fathers, grandfathers. Lord, that you might use us to instill your truths in the next generation. Lord, that our lives would be an example before our offspring. Lord, we know we stand in need of your grace to accomplish these things. We are altogether unable on our own. Father, I pray that by your grace you use us. I pray, Lord, you go with each of us as we leave here. We thank you again, Lord, for allowing Heather to be with us. Thank you, Lord, for all my family here today. Lord, we all thank you for the way you've blessed us in our lives, for the positions of accountability and responsibility that you've given us. And I just pray, Lord, for the necessary grace to fulfill those things. Father, thank you most of all for your love. Thank you for our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for his atoning death. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.